Kings, chapter 18. Well, I can get this thing. 1 Kings, chapter 18. I want to begin reading verse 29.
And it came to pass. How many times do you find that in the scripture? It came to pass. God purposed it, and it came to pass. When midday was past, and they prophesied into the time of the offering of an evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. This is the false prophets who were praying to Baal, and he didn't answer, he didn't regard, there was no voice. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now that's what this is about. The repairing of the altar. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would be in our midst, that you would deliver us from hearing the words and the thoughts and the opinions of the sinful man, but that we might hear from thee, the living God, from your word. O Lord, we pray that you would be our teacher and reveal thy blessed Son to us. Lord, we give thanks. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for your glorious attributes. We're so thankful for your justice and holiness and sovereignty and grace and love. Lord, we stand amazed that you've been pleased to make yourself known to us, and we give thanks. Lord, we pray that your gospel might be preached. We confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. Lord, how thankful we are for the salvation that's in your Son. May his name be exalted. Would you be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, on this particular day, the fire of God fell. You remember that? It consumed the sacrifice. On this particular day, the people fell. They fell down on their faces, and they worshiped the living God after they saw the fire fall. On this day, the false prophets fell. 400 were put to death. And then on this day, the rain fell. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and the rain comes down. Now, what a glorious day this was, but none of this would have happened had not the altar been repaired. The altar was broken down. It had fallen into disuse because Baal had been worshipped, and the altar was neglected. It was not even observed. But now, Elijah comes and repairs the altar. Now, what is an altar for? Well, it's for sacrifice. What's sacrifice for? Sin. That's the only reason. Sin. The Sin must be punished. God is just. God is holy. And he provides this sacrifice so he can have something to do with people like me or you. God's so glorious. He provides the sacrifice so he can have something to do in saving mercy with somebody like me or you. Now, the sacrifice or the altar had been not used. Now, you remember from verse 21 of this chapter, would you look there? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now, the people had been halting between two opinions. And this is amazing. After all that they had had God reveal to them, they were still worshiping Baal at this time, a false god. They were halting between two opinions. And Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now let's pick back up in verse 30. Now let me remind you something about Baal. He's first mentioned in Judges chapter 2. Baal was the false god of Canaan that everybody worshiped before Israel got there. And Israel was called upon to destroy all Baal worship. They didn't do it, and it's left here as a snare to them. And we read in verse 30, but let me make one more comment. Remember this. Any god that is not the God of this book, exactly as he is described in this book in every respect, is a false god. A non-existent God, an idol, nothing more. Now let me repeat that. If you hear God preached or declared that it's not exactly like the God of this book, and I don't even like the word likely because there's none like God. He's incomparable. He's in a class by himself. But any God you hear preached that is not the God of this book is non-existent. It's a false God, and false worship is going on. Now, in verse 30, after they saw that Baal didn't hear, didn't regard, didn't speak, verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Now, the message of the gospel, listen real carefully. The message of the gospel is come. Right now. You don't wait for anything. You don't wait till you get your life straightened up. You don't wait till you get more understanding. You don't wait for anything. The message of the gospel is come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no interim. There's no in between. I don't care who you are, what your condition is, what my condition is. The message of the gospel is right now, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that is the message of the gospel. Come. Don't wait. If you wait, you're working. The message of the law is go do. Get before you can come, there's these things you need to do in order to make yourself fit to come. But that's not the message of the gospel. To all men, right now, as you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and welcome. Isn't that wonderful? Come and welcome. He said, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. Now, the altar wasn't even used. It broke down by disuse. But when the gospel is preached, the altar is repaired. Now, let me remind you what an altar is for. An altar is for sacrifice. God is just. God will not accept sin in any form. He doesn't just up and forgive sin and sweep it under the carpet. He's just. What would you think of a human judge who, after somebody committed some kind of crime, said, well, I'm just going to forgive you? No, we wouldn't accept a judge like that. That would be wrong. And God is the judge of the earth, and he's utterly righteous. Sin must be punished. God is gracious. God has provided a sacrifice, the sacrifice of his Son, so that he can be just and punish all sin and yet embrace somebody like me or you. Now, when the gospel is preached, the altar is repaired. It's preached once again. Now, turn with me for a minute to Exodus chapter 20. Now, Exodus chapter 20 is where God gave the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before him. No idolatry, no false images. You can't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments, God's perfect, holy law. Now, this is interesting. Right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, look what we read, beginning in verse 24, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, the altar for sacrifice, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen in all places where I record my name. I'll come unto thee, and I'll bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone that have had men's tool upon it, because you've polluted it. Neither thou shalt go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now, God gives the Ten Commandments, and right after that, he gives an altar for sacrifice. Why? Because he knew men would break the Ten Commandments. And the only way he can be approached is through the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the way he says, don't put your tool on it. This thing's one-sided. It's all God. If you put your tool on it, if you try to form it any way to do anything to it, you've polluted it. And I love the way he says there are not steps to this altar. There are not steps to God. First you need to do this, and then you need to stop doing that. Then you need to get this straightened out, and then you need to believe this, and then you need to leave that, and then you can come. No, there's not steps to God. Come to Christ right now through the sacrifice that our Lord accomplished. Now, whatever's being said, I don't care what the subject is, whatever the preacher's preaching on, whatever is being said, whatever is being dealt with, I don't care what subject it is, if the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice is not central to that message, it's wrong. It shouldn't have been preached. I don't care if you agree with everything that was said. Well, what he said was right. Was Christ preached? Was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ declared? The cross of Christ is central, is everything in the preaching of the gospel. I love what Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the altar is repaired before the fire falls, before the people fall in worship, before the false prophets fall, before the rain falls. What's the first thing he does? He repairs the altar. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. The sacrifice of Christ, the cross of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. Before time began, what was the subject? Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The creation of this world was for this one purpose, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he created the world. In eternity, what will be the theme? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And that better be our theme in everything we preach. I don't care what the subject is. People say, well, what about something practical? Doesn't the Bible deal with practical things? You know, to be honest, when people say things like that, it's annoying. The Bible's the truth. Don't try to, well, this part's practical and this part's doctrinal and this part's theoretical and this part. Whatever we're dealing with, if the cross is not the subject, it's wrong. It's just wrong. So he repairs the altar. Now turn with me to Romans 8 for a moment. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if God's for you, nobody can be against you. You got nothing to fear? Absolutely nothing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? There's nothing, because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can prevent God from freely giving you all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's nothing to be laid to their charge. You can't accuse them of anything because God's justified them through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? You can't be condemned. Why? Because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate? You can't, because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's why the repairing of the altar is central to everything. Now back to our text. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And what did he do? He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now notice, he took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 tribes of Jacob. Now, what is the key here? Why not 13 stones? Why not an infinite amount of stones? Because this altar represents God's people. Christ died for the elect. He said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't come to die for everybody. He came to die for the elect. And he accomplished the redemption of the elect. Only 12 stones. Now, this is critical to our understanding of the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for everybody without exception, you do not believe his death saves. You believe there has to be something you do to make his death work for you. That is salvation by works. That's all it is. In 99% of, quote, Christianity, it's taught that God loves you, Christ died for you, he paid for your sins, now you need to accept him as your personal Savior, and that's what's going to save you. That's foolishness, is all that is. It's foolishness. You're making salvation by works. Listen, my only hope of being saved is that Christ died for me. And if he can die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, I know I wind up in hell anyway, and I know that I have no hope of salvation. This is the very heart and soul of the gospel. Christ's effectual work for his elect. Now, when the gospel's preached and when the altar's repaired, that is going to be the message, a successful, glorious atonement. Christ wasn't trying to save people when he died. He was saving. If he was trying to save everybody and they weren't saved, that means he's a failure. That's all that means. He's a failure. But thank God, successful. When he was repairing the altar, he brought out those 12 stones that represented Israel. And remember, Israel is representative of the elect of God. Everybody that Christ died for is the Israel of God. Now, turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 3. Verse 24. Being justified. Now, when the judge says, do you want to be justified or condemned? Has that ever happened? It's up to you. Take your choice. You want to be justified or condemned? Why, that's ridiculous. The judge declares you to be justified, or the judge declares you to be condemned. And that is the living God. And with regard to justification, being justified, this is true of every believer, freely, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth or ordained to be a propitiation. Now that word propitiation, that's a big word. We don't hear it very often. It means a sin-removing sacrifice. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's removed our sins. But notice this next phrase, through faith in His blood. Do you have faith in His blood? Do you believe that His blood is all that's needed to make you perfect before God? Faith in His blood. Now, if I don't believe in a successful redemption for God's elect, I do not have faith in His blood. I have faith in something else. But all we have is faith in His blood. His person, His work, His blood. Now the sacrifice causes Jacob to be Israel. Look in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Jacob, that sinful man, you can't read of his life and see anything but a weak, sinful man. That's Jacob. But because of the sacrifice, Jacob's name is changed to Israel, a prince with God. As a prince, you have power and have prevailed. Verse 32, and with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Now remember, the name of the Lord is who He is. It's not just the pronunciation of His name. If you think of Todd Nybert, you think of a certain person who has certain characteristics, maybe bad, maybe good, but you think of the person. If I think of your name, I think of the person behind the name. The name of the Lord is the person behind the name. God's attributes, God's character. And all that God is revealed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that altar of sacrifice. You find out His character. You find out His sovereignty. He purposed the cross. You find out of His holiness. He cannot accept sin. You find out of His justice. He's going to punish sin. You find His power to put away sin. You find of His love, His grace, His independence. He by Himself purged our sins. All of God's attributes are manifest in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so glorious. Now, for the rain to fall, for the fire of God to fall, for the people to fall in worship, for the false prophets to fall, here's what's going to have to take place: the repairing of the cross. And remember, that doesn't mean I'm doing something to make it repair. No, it's just the simple preaching of the cross. That's all God blesses. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said. I thought about it so many times. He said, if we narrowed our subject to nothing but the cross and never spake of anything else, it would be a widening rather than a narrowing of our preaching. May the Lord enable us to be just like Elijah in this thing of repairing the altar, preaching the cross. Here's the scripture I thought of. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, that's his death on the cross, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, why would anybody want to water that down? May God enable us to preach the cross in this generation.